Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But we'll see, bro. We'll see. But there's quite a few people that I like. I just don't see the Saints adding those guys. Like I said, it's a lot of they got a lot of draft capital in the defensive line. They just look at things like that. Gundam says the way we cover for Allen is atrocious. Mickey Loomis got into comfortable plantation taskmaster mentality, zero accountability. I said that. I've used the terminology. I've used the comparison of the Saints ran like an old mafia family. An old crooked mafia family. That's what I use because ain't nobody checking. There's no checking. Only thing they're checking is the bank account to see how much money they make. Nobody's checked the top three guys, the top three people, Gail, Dennis, and Mickey. Nobody's checking. Dennis is not checking Mickey Loomis, making sure he's doing his job. He's not doing that. Because I could tell how Mickey Loomis is moving that Dennis Lucia is giving him too much room to operate, that he is free to do whatever he wants to do. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's not like he's general manager Newsom that used to work with Baltimore and used to have all these great moves building the team. He was 10 times, 100 times the general manager that Mickey Loomis could ever hope to be. But he didn't even operate that way. There is no accountability above the top three people in that organization. Gail needs an independent advisor. She needs somebody to go and check these guys out to keep them nervous. They too comfortable up there. And I kept saying that, and he started saying it. Oh, well, listen, we got to make stuff uncomfortable. I'm talking about you. You're the uncomfortable one. Because if you had that mentality of not being comfortable, then that would flow throughout the organization. Dennis Allen wouldn't feel so comfortable. A lot of the players on the team wouldn't feel so comfortable. So how are you going to make them uncomfortable when you're the one that's starting it? Your non-accountability is with breeding the comfortability factor inside of that building. So, you know, like I said, it's nobody checking for each other. Them top three people at that organization, is no only thing they checking is the bank account. That's all they checking. It's too much ease. It's not enough fire going on with those top three people. That needs to be shaken up. So will it happen? We'll see. To keep losing it, we'll see. All right. Yeah, I know. Inevitable. You was talking. Yeah. Turner from Alabama or what's the kid from Florida State? I forgot his name. Curse from Florida State. Those are two really good ones, man. I like a lot. I just don't see him looking at him. All right. Sean says, I meant Kubiak will get the head coach. Oh, elsewhere. Yes, indeed, bro. Absolutely. That's if he fails. But then again, if he fails, and I most certainly, listen, I want the Saints to win. I just don't like the coach because it's the wrong dude. I don't like backstabby, weaselly, slick talking, low confident nine leaders over your team. I don't like that. And that's what that guy is. I don't like that. Sooner or later, that type of personality can't get the most out of the team because they just don't have it. You got to pick people with a certain style, not just style, but a group of character traits that know how to deal with people, know how to get the most out of people. And I'm not just talking about his defense. I'm talking about the whole team. You need an overseer. Dennis Allen's style is to hire somebody to run the offense, and he stays over here and handles the defense. He's not over the offense. You've seen that during the season when the offense was failing and he was making excuses for him. He wasn't talking to Carr saying, listen, bro, if you don't get this straight, I'm going to have to pull you, put Jameis in there. You think he was doing that? No. So his style is, I'm going to run defense over here, call the plays for the defense. You guys have the offense. And he does that because he feels comfortable with that style. But if that offensive guy fails, he can blame him and fire him like he did Pete Carmichael last year. You see? Can't do that going into the future no more because if they're continue to losing, the common denominator is him. And of course, Mickey Loomis. So in the end, he kind of running out of moves right here, fam, to be quite honest with you, man. He running out of moves here. All right. What's up, Tasha? Shout out to you and my boy, Sean. Much love. Clout says, I'm be emailing you a Saints draft boy, Q. My good. Yeah, do that. Do that. Do that, Scout, man. I'll go over it, man. Good, man. Yeah, bro. Send me what you got, man. Usually, I get a lot of great information from my dog KT and GM Kev. They do a really good job of sending me some information. But yeah, Scout, send me what you got. I'll cover it, man. That's great. He said, I think Williams is more signed for the pass block. And he says Detroit numbers were because they're offensive line in situations. Kendra Miller actually has an RB1 ceiling. My comp to him is TCU's Joseph Addai. How about that? Yeah. Well, I can see the comparisons, bro. You know, it's how he looked in that last game. He had the wiggle where you seen guys like Jamal Williams couldn't get any light. Kendra Miller was able to make something happen behind that busted offensive line. The Saints was running out there. He was making guys miss at the line, and he was able to break a few tackles and gain extra yardage. He was able to do a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he definitely has some great ability. The Saints really pick very well with Kendra Miller. Mont says, Q, should we take a chance on Penix if he drops at the right draft spot? I definitely think so. If he drops somewhere in the fourth round or something like that, I would definitely grab Michael Penix. He's better than Jake Haener. I'm sorry, you know, Michael Penix Jr. is better than Jake Haener. He is. He's a guy that is, he got a lot of talent, man. Like I said, the thing they're downplaying Michael with is because of his injury history. Doesn't shine well, but he's super productive when he's in there. The guy knows how to play football. He dealt with a ton of injuries, and the guy fought back to become trying to get into the draft as an NFL quarterback. He's going to get picked up by somebody between the second and third rounds. That's where I see him going. I don't see him going to the fourth, but you never know. They find something in a, you know, he does a pro deal. They find some injury or some, you know, situation like that. It tends to make him slide down a bit. But if everything stays the same, he should be going anywhere between the second and the third round. If you're lucky, somewhere early in the fourth round. But I don't think Penix Jr. is going to go that far. I think that's where a guy like Michael Pratt from Tulane will end up, like in the fourth round, somewhere in there. But guys like Penix should be going late second into the third. So, I mean, if he's there, hell yeah, you should pick him up. He's better than Jake Haener. But, you know, like I said, once again, we'll see. All right, Scout says, Verse would be awesome, but he'll get, yeah, I said curse. I meant Verse, Jared Verse. He said, I think you're right that we have a type, Tyler Davis, right? It's nose tackle from Clemson who played next to Brian Bresee. That would be fun, right? Travis says, grab Jamal Adams if he can stay healthy. Grab the offensive tackle from Dallas and the offensive guard from Detroit. How about that? So we build an offensive line there. And then Jamal Adams. And I like Jamal Adams, yeah. Jamal Adams is good, but he had a lot of injuries that happened. Is he good? I know he has some family stuff or some mental stuff that happened with Jamal Adams since he went to Seattle. He kind of went down a bit, you know, but I got all the love and respect for LSU people. That's my squad. So, you know, Jamal Adams, perhaps Joe Woods can rework with him, but at the right price. And I don't know. Like I said, I think the Saints are keen on Jordan Howden. I think we kind of underselling Jordan Howden and what the Saints are doing. You know, I think they really see him as a starting safety. You can win with losers on top of the team. Peyton built the Super Bowl team. Mickey got lucky when he hired Sean. Yeah, well, I don't know. Can you win with losers on top of the team? Can we win a Super Bowl with Dennis Allen? Y'all put it in the chat. Matter of fact, let me do this. Give me a second here. Let me see if I can do this. Let me put a question in this chat. Hold on here. Let me do this. Give me just a second because I'm going to need some time. Yeah, to put this in the chat. Give me just a second here. Let me kind of put this in the chat here. Hold on. Hold on, fam. I'm trying to add me a little question here to the chat. Let me ask the family. That's an interesting statement you made there, 504 Code, my brother. Yes, my brother. Let me see if I can put that question to the chat. Hold on. Let me see here. Put that up there. I'm going to add a question to the chat. About that, can Dennis Allen, hold on here, let me just put DA up there, I ain't spell his whole damn name, the hell with that, can DA win a Super Bowl, in New Orleans, All right. I'm about to put that. I want to see what y'all got to say for that. Hold on. I don't think I did that right. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Just a second. Hold on, fam. I didn't even give y'all a chance. All right, hold on. Let me do that again. I screwed that all the hell up. All right. Can DA, can dumbass, okay. Can DA win a Super Bowl and NO? There you go, baby. Yes. All right, hold on. So let me give, hold on. Let me, hold on. That's wrong. What's going on here? Hold on, fam. I'm sorry. Taking all kind of long. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. Here we go. Here go the question. It's about to pop up there now. And here we go. I got it in the chat. I want y'all to answer that. I want y'all to answer that question there. Can DA win a Super Bowl in New Orleans? Y'all, all the family members in the building, hit that poll and let me know what y'all think, man, because that's an interesting thing. 504K, so you can win with losers on top of the team. Peyton built the Super Bowl team. But did he have, did Peyton build it with losers? I don't think he built it with losers, because when the team was basically destroyed when he got it. He didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have a running back. He didn't have much of a defense. And really, Sean Payton really kind of did this thing. And really, you talked about Mickey got lucky when he hired Payton. You might, I don't know if to say luck, but fortune does play a part of it, because Tom Benson didn't want Tom. Let's just say this. Tom Benson wanted Clint Kubiak's father, which is his name's Gary Kubiak, to be the head coach, because they were targeting Gary Kubiak, because Kubiak had a resume as a player. He was a backup quarterback for John Elway. He won two championships with John Elway as a backup. He won two Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator for Denver. So he was a guy that had the hardware on his resume, and Tom Benson, rest his soul, wanted Gary Kubiak as the head coach. I talk about this story all the time because I was there. I just don't like when they romanticize it. Like, oh, Sean Payton seen the Saints and he said, I'm going to take the team and hoist them up and put them on a pedestal and we're going to ride them to greatness. No, that's not what happened. That is totally not what happened. He wanted Gary Kubiak, and the reason why he didn't end up with Gary Kubiak is because Kubiak got a big contract from the Texans and he wanted to come to New Orleans. But he asked Tom Benson to match the contract. And Tom Benson said no, that he wasn't going to match it. And Sean Payton was the runner up. And he just settled with Sean. That's what happened. He wanted Gary Kubiak as his head coach. And he didn't want to match the contract that the Texans gave him. That's what it came down to. So Gary went to Houston and Sean Payton, who was the runner up, got the job. And then Coach Payton came in and Coach Payton got the draft. He picked up Reggie Bush. He got Drew Brees, who Drew Brees was trying to go to Miami. Drew Brees was trying to go to Miami, and Nick Saban was the head coach and general manager of the Miami Dolphins at the time. And the 1 year that he went pro, he finished 8-8 that year. But what occurred was that he ultimately said, you know, he was trying to get to Miami, and it was a decision that Nick Saban had to make between Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper. And Nick Saban chose Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees, and Drew came here. So in both cases, both of those guys came together. So it's more fortune than anything, because both of those guys, well, Sean Payton wanted to come to New Orleans. He wanted to, but New Orleans was having its picks and chooses between the two, and that's how it happened. So it came together. So anyway, I don't know. Can you build a team like that, man? I don't know if you can build a team like that, man. Like, you talking about building a team with losers, and I don't know if you can build a team with losers, bro. And I don't think Reggie Bush was a loser. Sean Payton was a loser. Drew Brees was a loser. Scott Fontenot was a loser. I mean, Scott Fujita, who they picked up on. Scott Chandler was another dude that they brought in here to kind of build up the defense. You know, and they did a few things to kind of add and build up the team over time. They drafted well, brought in some free agents, and then went from there. So I don't know. We'll hit the poll momentarily. I just want everybody to get an opportunity to hit that poll and vote on it. Youngblood says trade Marshawn would be a big mistake. Indeed, it would be. Brother Derek, oh, how you doing, Brother Derek? How you doing? Says Q, I hope we are over this trying to look smarter than fifth graders. Drafting players that nobody never heard of. and keep it as simple, draft and, you know, draft at skill position, no developmental projects in the first. Thank you, brother Derek. You know, they always got to hit us with the surprise. They had a decent draft last year. Inevitable says Lattimore, the best cornerback in Saints history. Eric Allen second, because he was older when we got him. Yeah, I think Eric Allen was on the downslide when we got him from Philadelphia, you know, and I was like, man, you know, yeah, we got him later on, but I have to think about it. But yeah, no doubt about it. Lattimore is the greatest cornerback the Saints ever had. Well, then again, I don't know. What about, I may have to look into it, but I know he's up there. He's like either one or two. You know, Scout says maybe their logic is DA scheme is friendly to DBs. A Debo.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yidam played good outside. Lante's outside guy too, moving lat. Might be culture, cap decision. Draft the slot cornerback, retain Yidam. There you go. Yeah, Yidam did. And Joe Woods was good for Isaac Yidam. He stopped him from, you know, face guarding. Yidam was able to turn and attack and turn. And he, all parts of Yidam's game improved last year. He became a total different person. And usually when that happened is half what he put into it and half Joe Woods, who's a good verbalizer of the game, because Joe Woods is called a defensive coordinator. He controls the defensive backs in terms of the cornerbacks. Marcus Robinson, who was the secondary coach, controls the safeties. So the DB, the cornerbacks are controlled by Joe Woods. So Joe Woods had a direct influence over Isaac Yidam's game. I was very impressed with Isaac Yidam. His progression from last year and, you know, based on the previous year was like night and day. So he's a free agent. So hopefully the Saints could retain him. But then again, somebody might see his value because he's a good size cornerback, play really well. They might want to offer him a little bit more money than what he is. And Paulson Adebo rebound well off the sophomore slump year, you know. And like I said, yeah, Alante Taylor, a lot of guys talk about Alante Taylor. Remember, they drafted Alante. He was supposed to have dual purpose. They wanted Alante to play a little safety. They wanted him to play cornerback outside, inside, because he was meant to replace Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's what the thing about when he was looked at more of a larger, cleaner version. Not saying that Chauncey was loud. You know, he talked a lot of mess, and Alante Taylor wasn't like that. Alante Taylor is the kind of personality-wise that were different, you know, and that's what the Saints did when they drafted him to come here and play. But he could play outside, inside. He could play a little safety if you give him the opportunity to do that. So there's some duality there in terms of what Alante Taylor could bring to the Saints. So, you know, we'll see. All right, Duke says, yeah, I agree, Q. Benson needs independent advisor. Loomis and DA, that crap he pulled on Winston, apologize for Falcons, straight loser. And that's the thing. Dennis Allen, I used to talk about this all the time when they were losing a lot of games. Dennis Allen would go up to the podium, and I was like, he needs to apologize for the performance that team put on because they were not prepared. They went out there and stunk. There was never none of that. But the only time he does apologize is to apologize to the Falcons for a play that they ran at the end of the year to throw his team under a bus. And I thought that was what kind of code of ethics or morality does this dude operate by? I mean, I don't like this dude. I really don't. I don't like him. I don't like that type of personality. You know, a guy that's backstabby, that does stuff like that. He wouldn't want nobody to do him that, to stab him in the back or throw him under the bus, but he's comfortable with doing it to his team. And a good general manager, which you don't have, would have said, listen, you can't do that. Go apologize to them in front of everybody. I don't care what, you know, it don't have to be in front of the world, but go tell them, listen, man, I'm sorry, you know, take them out to dinner, do something. You don't have to tell the world about it, but go and fix that, because they're not going to play for you. But that guy don't get that, because that ain't that type of guy that you got running the team. Just keeping it a buck. That is that you can't have that type of dude operating, man, for real. Trey says, Michael tweeted he wanted to be a Saint. Yeah, well, Penix, man, is a dude, man, that I think he should. He's better than Jake Haener. That's all I could tell you, brother. And if the Saints get an opportunity to pick him up later on, they should. This will, you know, stop. You know, you need to at point I don't know if Jake Haner, I would lean on more of the side that Jake Haner is not the future of the Saints team once your boy Carr gets gone. They're going to need somebody else. They need somebody that's, you know, that's going to excite the base. And if Haner's worth it, let him and Penix fight for it. Or if it's not him, it's Jordan, the kid from Florida State. I'll take either one of those guys. Or Pratt from Tulane, he's a good one. You know, there's a bunch of good guys out there. Yeah, I was thinking about Milton, man. What Milton was due, he had that big arm for Tennessee. A lot of his game is he got a huge arm, bro. He can throw it like he Josh Allen or somebody, but his accuracy needs a little work. But he's a big quarterback, stand tall in the pocket, got a gun for him. His accuracy wanes a bit. So if you can get him to kind of get more accurate on what he's saying, you might get a diamond with Big Joe Milton out of University of Tennessee. Yeah, Duke said he's better. All right, Scott, Super Bowl. Well, maybe he can make the playoffs. But yeah, but the ultimate goal is Super Bowl with Dennis Allen. Can you win a Super Bowl with Dennis Allen? Remember, you got like 2 years to do it. Because a lot of, in 2 years is the contract with a lot of these players like DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Cam Jordan. Their contracts are up in 2 years. So that's your window of opportunity. So whatever you got to do, it got to happen within that 2 hour window. That's also consequently the time when you'll know what's going on with Derek Carr. So the Saints reset themselves in about 2 years. So can you get there? That's what we're talking about here. Can the Saints get there in the next 2 years with the current core of players that they have? We're talking about Carr, Taysom, Tyrann, Cam, you know, DeMario, 2 years. Alvin Kamara is on a 2-year deal. So the Saints reset themselves in 2 years. Can they do it? That's all you got. That's all you got. You done wasted away the last 2 years. Really, it was a 4 years. I said 3 years, but it's really, if you stretch it out and what they're doing, you're stretching it out to a 3 to 4 year window. And there's 2 years remaining with the window. After that, the team is going to have to reset themselves. So are they ready? Inevitable says, I thought Sean Payton wanted the Green Bay job. He was in running for the Green Bay job, but Sean Payton was the guy. He was more interested in New Orleans than he was in Green Bay. He was. And when, because the thing, the way it went was, and you can go, I don't know if they can, a lot of these articles are still up, but that's who they wanted. The Green Bay Packers wanted Sean Payton. Payton wanted to come to New Orleans. Benson wanted Kubiak, Gary Kubiak, who wanted to come here, but he wanted him to match the money that the Texans had gave him because the Texans gave him a contract. And he wanted Tom to match it. If Tom Benson would have matched it, then you would have had Kubiak instead of Sean Payton. But it all worked out the way it was supposed to, you know. All right. Big Sean says Sean Payton wanted to go to Green Bay, settle for New Orleans after Green Bay deal fall through. I'm telling you, you know, I remember how it happened. I remember Sean Payton wanted to go. He wanted the New Orleans job. And I know, and listen, you know, we're going to have to go back. I'm going to pull up my receipts for that. Brent said, what's up? Brent says, what dumb DA luck, maybe, but it's what we're relying on. Come on, man. All right. Shout out to you, Brent. Good to hear from you, bro. All right. What's up, OG Jerry? Well, big ups to you, brother. Good to see you in the chat, man. But anyway, let's hit that. What's up, Mondal? Says Mike McCarthy was Green Bay's choice. They had asked Payton's permission before Haslett was fired. That is true. All right. Yeah, that's true. Because McCarthy was Haslett's offensive coordinator. That is correct. And that's, he went up there and I think he got a Super Bowl out of him. So it was a good choice for Green Bay to get McCarthy. He went up there, won a championship with him. And then you had Sean came. We picked up on Sean. Sean and ultimately won the Super Bowl for the Saints. So in the end, it kind of worked out all around, didn't it, family? All right. So anyway, let's look at the poll, man. I done left it up there long enough. The question is, can Dennis Allen win a Super Bowl in New Orleans? And man, it's a resounding poll. 97% of the pollers said no. Only 3% said yes, he could win it. So 97% of the team, of the people that were polled, said that this is not going to happen. But yeah, like I said, but currently, that's not a surprise because, like I've said, and I continue to say, Dennis Allen doesn't do anything. Oh, well, he doesn't wow the base. Let's just say that, right? He doesn't wow the base. He really doesn't, especially when you're backstabbing your players, and that won't help you win no cool points with me. Let me tell you something. All right. So anyway, all right, man, that's a resounding no from the Who Dat Nation, man. But anyway, fam, listen, man, ultimately the trade rumor circulating around DeMario Davis is some cap, in my opinion. The situation with Marshawn Lattimore has some smoke to it because of the differences with the team. I think that one's a little bit more value because that other stuff with DeMario is just cap. Jason Lockenfora is the one that dropped that giblet. It didn't come from our really good insiders that cover the Saints commentary. None of that came from them. None of that came from them. All of that other stuff came via Jason Lockenfora. Like I said, if it was coming from guys like our guy Underhill or the rest of these guys that cover the Saints, man, I'll be like, man, that taps, because he won't give you no BS or no bull. He won't do that. But Lockenfora, who like Sigler put out a tweet showing all of the dumb stuff that he said over the years. That was pretty good. He dropped some receipts, said, man, listen, I don't think y'all should be listening to this cat about this. But in the end, like I said, I think it's some cap on DeMario and maybe a little something with Lattimore. It shouldn't be with Lattimore, but that's unfortunately what it is. All right. All right. And Scout says, in fairness to D, I don't think our GM really gave him a Super Bowl roster either. He's got top payroll in the NFL, needs four positions on the offensive line, long-term QB, pass rush, another wide receiver. Pretty messy. In fairness to Dennis Allen, Scout, that's why we're going to difference in opinion with you. Sean Payton left. When Sean Payton left, this team wasn't a low covered team. And every year the Saints gave Dennis Allen whatever he wanted. So it wasn't like Mickey Loomis was like, we're going to add this to the team. No, a lot of the movements that's happened over the last 3 years were movements that were put together by Dennis Allen. And most teams go through, every team goes through free agency periods when it loses some of its players to somebody else. The Saints were in good position. It was all only one game off from a playoff trip when Sean Payton left. They were pretty balanced. The next year, they added more team people to the team. Tyrann Mathieu, Jarvis Landry was added, I think that was. And then, you know, stuff like that, they was added later on. So they added people to the team. And like I've said, and this will continue to be the same sticking point during the Dennis Allen administration, is they add people, they draft people, they add people through free agency. And what ended up happening is they always do a really good job in the offseason of getting talent here. The issue with them is they don't translate the talent well from the offseason to the end season. And when you have, and that's the common thread that always fails the Saints, because they'll get all this talent and then they'll misuse the talent. And that's what I was saying about it during the season, that they misuse everything. Like they'll the season and all this other stuff that happened. All they needed to do was make tweaks during the season, and the man refused to do it. The coach, if you won't call him that, refused to make the changes offensively speaking. He sat on his ass the whole time while the offensive line stunk. They were up and down. He didn't make any moves. He didn't do anything. And all that played the same damn way over and over again. So if you don't make changes and you see things falling apart and people are pushing on you to make changes, the media is asking you to make changes and you don't do anything, and then you say we're going to make changes and don't make any changes, and then you lose, don't tell me nothing, bro. Don't tell me nothing. Why didn't you make the changes during the year to when the team offensively was struggling? Why didn't you change offensive coordinators or whatnot? Change it up. Let somebody else call it. Why didn't you try a different offensive coach in terms of the offensive line coach to come in there and talk to the, you know, let him run it for a little bit, see what he can do. Bring somebody else in, that advisor, to see what they can do there. Why didn't you do any of that? So at the end of the year, he's going to stand up there and tell you he pissed. I don't want to hear it, man. I don't want to hear it. And that's the problem we have with these guys, that they don't make changes and adjustments in the season when changes, adjustments are called for. That's the problem. And they'll pinpoint talent. They'll tell you, oh, well, we need more of this and more of that. But then when you get it and you lose, don't tell me nothing. It's not about what you, about the talent. It's about them misusing these people. They're not using them correctly or making the proper adjustments when you're supposed to adjust. They're not doing that. So, I mean, that's my analysis on it. And I've been saying that for a while, man, just to keep it real. Mont says he was 49 at OC when he got Green Bay hired him, but Green Bay wanted him for the Saints in 2003-04 as coordinator. Thank you, bro. Travis says greatest Saints cornerback of all time. Are Davis, Greer, McKenzie, Porter, and Lattimore. I don't even put McKenzie up there. You talking about Mike McKenzie? I put Jabari Greer a lot higher than McKenzie. McKenzie used to get cooked, man. And Tracy Porter, is that it? You don't even have Eric Allen up there. You know, but Lattimore is clearly one of the tops, man. I might have to go back into Saints lore to kind of add another one. It's somebody we missing from Saints lore from yesteryear that we ain't putting up on this board. Who's better than Mike McKenzie? Mike McKenzie used to, he looked like a Saints predator. He used to always get cooked out there. And if he usually make a play on the ball, it's by simple by mistake or something. McKenzie used to get cooked, man. And I mean, listen, I don't have no problems. Mike McKenzie used to infuriate me because he would not turn and locate the ball. You know, it looked like when he would make a deflection, it'd be by accident. It just didn't look McKenzie to me. Used to infuriate me, man. He used to get cooked, man. You know what I'm saying? He used to get cooked, man. That's how I remember Mike McKenzie. All right, Sean says, as an organization, we messed up when we didn't run it back with Jameis. Worst case scenario would have been we had a bad season. Top pick, draft JD5. Indeed. Brett Maxey, safety, though. That's a safety. That wasn't a corner. Brent says, speak of truth to Paul Q on the way. Yes, we have to face it, bro. We gotta face it. Thank you, bro. Mont says, Toy Cook and Brett Maxey. Toy was a corner. Brett Maxey was a safety. And Toy Cook used to get cooked all the time, bro. So he was probably one of the worst cornerbacks we had because he used to get kicked. Probably, listen, I ain't going to do it. It's late in the show right now, but two cornerbacks, probably the worst. Toy Cook had his moments, but he was known. He was famous for getting burnt. He used to get cooked all the time. That's why he was named Cook. Toy Cook. He got cooked. But the thing is, you know, I think a guy worse than Toy Cook was out there for the Saints. And even Jason David might get thrown in there like you just thrown Jason David's name in there. But Jason David, he was a 5'7" cornerback. But at least he got interceptions. At least Jason David got interceptions. One of the worst Saints cornerbacks in recent memory was Alex Molden. His son playing the league today. Alex Molden was a first-round draft pick, awful cornerback. Totally awful. I remember Alex Molden. There you go, Kareem. Kareem, that's right. Alex Molden, bro. Alex Molden was one of the worst because he was a first-round draft pick bust corner. He used to get cooked all the time. If Toy Cook was cooked, that boy was grilled. That dude was awful, man. Alex Molden was awful, man. Fred Thomas. No, Jason David and Fred Thomas were way. Fred Thomas was pretty bad. But you got to remember, too, Fred Thomas was, he played with a lot of heart, but both Jason David and Fred Thomas were undersized cornerbacks, man. They were undersized cornerbacks. They used to get matched up with 6'3", 6'5". I used to hate watching them go against Carolina with Musa Muhammad and all them boys because them dudes was like 6'3", 6'4". And them dudes, and Fred was like 5'9", or something, 5'10", or something, whatever it was. Jason Day, who's stupid enough to get a 5'7" cornerback in an age of the league where the receivers are averaging 6'1", 6'2"? The Saints. That's what they did. You know, but yeah, Fred, they were little dudes, man. Jason Day was little. Alex Molden was what, 5'11"? He used to get killed out of there, dude. Oh, Brandon Browner. Oh, yeah, that dude, man. They got Brandon Browner late in the game. They tried to play him at cornerback. They should have kind of converted him to a safety and put him more into like a Cam Chancellor role because he had no speed. He had the size, but he didn't have the speed. And the Saints just stupid. They just was doing crazy stuff, man. Back in the day. Yeah, but they got him at the wrong time, man. Brandon Browner was not a good choice for the Saints to put at their cornerback position. I talked about it a long time. I was like, man, that dude should be converted to a safety, like on the back end of the defense, but not at no cornerback. And the Saints just, I think that year they was dealing with a lot of injuries. It was just an awful time for Hudats. Anyway, on a lighter note, man, listen, hopefully nobody gets traded, but these are just some of the trade rumors that are circulating around with the New Orleans Saints and Hudat Nation. Listen, I done ran up to my point. Well, I'll probably be back later on in the day, fam, to recap the Pelicans matchup against the Atlanta Hawks tonight on the Pelican Post Game Report. If y'all, all the Pel fans, can feel free to join us at the Pelican Post Game Report. Come on over and subscribe and join us tonight as we recap the Pelicans getting that dub. And listen, on the Saints stuff, we'll return on Monday with more Saint content, man. We'll keep an eye on all this stuff going on. But currently, like I said, the Saints black and gold right now are just, according to Sport, over the cap, are just at $10.9 million in the red. So they're getting closer and closer to getting the green. So with that being said, I'm going to end on that. Listen, I appreciate all you guys for chiming in on this episode of the show. Do me a favor, hit the like button, hit the sub button, and also feel free to share the show on your social media feed. It helps us out a lot. So I'm going to holler at y'all on the next line. Much love. Who that?
Yeah. losing, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Long as I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that. Boogie like this and I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like elk. Thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Booking on Tampa, duck down. Falcons, pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much, touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy and you probably smell. The crooked referees are Roger Goodell. Yeah, like this and I'm a who that. Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that. Boogie like this and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.